Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shops, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Kate Andrews, our economics correspondent. Next week, we'll hear from Rishi Sunak as he delivers his budget. There are various reports in the papers about what could or might couldn't be in it. I think probably the stories causing the most alarm regard tax rises, particularly corporation tax. We're also hearing about potential stealth tax. Kate, is the general mood music that rather than a giveaway budget, as some have said this could be in the papers, this is actually going to be much harder to swallow?
Yeah, I think that's really possible. It seems very much like a mixed bag so far. We've heard of roughly £30 billion going into short-term measures to continue to help tackle coronavirus from an economic perspective. This is expected to cover an extension of the furlough scheme yet again into the summer. The Chancellor addressing business loans, which also may be needed into the summer, a temporary uplift in universal credit. It's not thought that that's going to be extended indefinitely, but you could see a temporary extension, and also an extension of stamp duty. Now, those are pretty major giveaways, but counterbalancing that is something that I think very, very few Tories would have expected even mere months ago when the Chancellor was just dishing out the cash. And that is that he wants to get straight into tax rises to start addressing the public finances. As you say, Katie, the big headline has been a change to the corporation tax rate, lifting that to somewhere around 24-25%, and also potentially bringing capital gains tax in line with income tax, which would be a raise as well. Now, none of this is about addressing the debt. It's the fact, if you look at the forecast for even 2024, 2025, the deficit is projected to be roughly double what the Conservatives thought it would be in March or February, March last year, when the Chancellor was putting together his first budget, of course, had to make major changes a few weeks before to address the virus. And those are borrowing levels that the Chancellor just simply isn't comfortable with. But he's going to be facing a tough week if he does bring in these tax rises, because the Labour Party have decided they don't think this is the time for tax rises. And certainly the Conservative backbenchers are going to kick up a fuss as well. So for a little while, at least, it could be the Chancellor versus the world.
Yes, James, it's hard to find anyone really who's in support of tax rises now. Mainstream economic opinion says now is not the time, perhaps in a few years. Of course, in a few years' time, that is perhaps when the Tories might be seeking a fifth term. So is that why Rishi Sunak wants to move quicker? Or is this about interest rates and the fact that they could go up?
I think it's about a variety of factors, KB. So I think you are completely right, but the political cycle and the economic cycles are not aligned right now. And the kind of Sunak view is that you don't want to be raising taxes in an election year. So that shifts earlier on in the cycle when you want to do these things. But I also think that you're right, that whilst I think lots of people in government feel that the kind of magic money tree has been discovered in this crisis and you can carry on borrowing and rates are so low, there's no sign of them going up. I think the Sunak view is you need to show the markets that you have some seriousness about the deficit if you're not going to leave yourself vulnerable to a change in market attitudes. And it is worth not acknowledging, as I think he said to you and Fraser when you interviewed him at Christmas, but just a very small shift in the interest rate, nothing particularly dramatic, would have a big effect on the public finances now, given how large the deficit has become. And so I think those factors are at play. I also think that you kind of slightly get back into those 80s arguments about Thatcherite versus Reaganite economics. And I think he is definitely more of a Thatcherite than a Reaganite.
Kate, in the search for unpopular opinions, do you think Rishi Sunak has a point here? Now is the time for tax rises?
I think the Chancellor has a strong point to make when he talks about the insecurity or lack of resilience that the UK now has to another economic shock. Even if interest rates or inflation were to creep up to still historic lows, say an interest rate of 1%, the UK would be in a very tough position having to pay its bills. And so in many ways, he's right to flag this huge problem that, you know, any other hiccups, any other problems down the line, and the UK could be in a much more difficult position than it was tackling the financial crisis or certainly COVID-19. But the difficulty is that spending cuts to tackle this have more or less been ruled out by the Prime Minister himself, who told, I believe you, Katie, and James, he told The Spectator a few years back that on reflection, he regrets the amount of austerity that was carried out during the Cameron and Osborne era. Now, of course, tax rises are also a form of austerity, but the public came to know them as spending cuts, so it's much harder for the Chancellor to touch spending this time round, which is one of the reasons he'll be looking at tax rises. But corporation tax is particularly interesting because it's become a real success story from the free market right over the past few years. As rates have gone down, revenue from corporation tax has notably gone up. So for the Chancellor to decide that he's going to raise corporation tax once again, first of all, there'll be questions circulating about whether or not it's going to work. Will it actually bring in the revenue that he expects it to bring in? I'm a little bit skeptical whether or not it will. But also, he may be seen to be undermining this success story that you can lower taxes and still bring in the money and pay for your public services. So I think on corporation tax in particular, that's one that he's going to have an uphill battle making the case for next week.
James, there's been some interesting polling recently and work by, I think, Onward, you know, various think tanks. And the suggestion, I think, has been coming from certain quarters that perhaps there has been a sea change in how the public perceive tax rises. They're more palatable. It goes a little bit to what Kate is talking about, the idea that spending cuts are seen as more toxic. So do you think something has actually changed, or is it still the case that people say that they don't mind tax rises until they realise that the tax rises are ones that they have to pay?
You get to a situation where one in four private sector workers are having 80% of their wages paid by the government. Someone's going to have to pay for this, right? I mean, the public get that there has been crisis economics because of COVID and the shutdown of the economy, and that is going to have to get paid for at some point. Now, I mean, there is obviously a debate about when you do pay for it, and obviously you don't want to start trying to do it too early and choke off the recovery. I also think the argument that Kate was making on corporation tax just then is an interesting one. Revenues have gone up, but I think that George Osborne actually might have exacerbated some of the problems in the UK economy, because one of the ways he paid for cuts in corporation tax was by reducing allowances. So we've now got a corporate tax system that favours services over manufacturing in kind of structural way in the tax system. Now, if you are a government that is trying to level up, that goes against what you're wanting, because that is essentially a tax system that structurally favours London and the South East over the Midlands and the North. And so I think there is an interesting debate about whether that's right. I mean, there's also, it's worth remembering that corporation tax is a tax paid on profits. It's not a turnover tax. So when people talk about firms that are struggling, they are not going to get hit by this tax increase because, to be brutally frank, they ain't making profits. So I think these are an interesting set of debates here about that. It is worth bearing in mind that your corporate tax rate is only part of what decides whether people decide to invest in your country or not, and you are judged in comparison to other places. And I generally think as governments come out of this crisis, I think you will see corporate tax rates rising across the board in developed economies, because everyone has spent huge amounts of money in this crisis, and that's the way. So I think all of those factors are at play. I think you can clearly see some nervousness from the government about Tory party discipline on this. I think it's quite telling that when they did a kind of budget preview session in the 1922 Committee of Tory Backbenchers, the beginning of that was the Chief Whip not quite reading the riot act to Tory MPs, but making clear that if you vote against the government on a budget vote, that's not small beer. That would be considered to be a kind of major act of rebellion that would put your whole status as a Tory MP in doubt. So I think all of these factors are combined. I also think the other thing is that it's hard to remember a budget that's taken place against such a backdrop of uncertainty. There are two big things we don't know. We don't know what happens on June 21st. We know that the restrictions on numbers go, but we don't know if social distancing remains in place then, which is going to have a big impact on the way in which the economy comes back. And we also don't know how quickly the economy bounces back. We know that households in the UK have built up savings during this pandemic. We don't know whether people's reaction is going to be, thank God I can go out and spend money again, and people will go and essentially spend those savings very quickly. Or we don't know whether people will think, hang on a second, you never know when the next one of these pandemics might strike. So I'm going to start squirreling this cash away that I've saved and I won't spend it. So there's lots of uncertainty at the moment.
James, just on the Tory party and the chance of rebellion, as you say, there's been a strong message that this is going to be a confidence issue. It's a budget after all. But what do you think we're looking at in terms of a potential Tory rebellion if the reports on, say, corporation tax are true?
I think to go through the division lobby with the opposition against a budget is hugely serious. And I cannot see there being a great appetite among that many Tory MPs for doing that. I also think that the politics of this is shifting. I think you yourself referred to the polling that came out last night from James Johnson showing that a strong majority of even Tory voters would favour a corporation tax rise as a way of essentially attempting to steady the public finances after the past year or so. So I would be surprised if many Tory MPs were prepared to fully charge the guns on this one.
Can I just do a quick note of caution on the polling, though? We know it's very easy to say that you'd like somebody else to pay for the financial state that we found ourselves in. And corporation tax is a really easy one to point to because it's theoretically business that's paying for it, not people. But there's quite good evidence, of, you know, of course, because businesses are people, corporations are people. They're not these, you know, entities that exist without human behavior.
Take Kate
attached.
Out of the Romney campaign, but you can't take the Romney campaign out of Kate.
Why would you want to take the Romney campaign out of Kate? I think it's very easy to say you want somebody else to pay for it. And when we remember that corporations and businesses are indeed people, we also have to remember that corporation tax is often passed on to workers and can affect workers' wages. It'll be interesting to see the actual impact if any of these tax rises come through, because I suspect people will feel them more acutely than they think they will when they fill out a piece of polling paper.
Kate, very quick final question to you on corporation tax. Rishi Sunak is effectively helped by the Biden administration here because lots of Tory MPs are looking to America and saying that what the Chancellor is doing is wrong because they're doing mass stimulus. But actually on corporation tax, there are signs that the Democrats will be increasing that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if the Chancellor actually pays tribute to Joe Biden for any potential tax rise, because it is being reported that Joe Biden's giving him cover. I see it slightly differently. It strikes me that the policies that Biden plans to bring in, including a near $2 trillion stimulus package, could, in the US, they're worried, have a real impact on inflation. And I think what America's choosing to do isn't necessarily giving Rishi Sunak free rein to do what he wants to do. I think he's being cautious. He's worried about the impact that America could have on economies across the world. So again, you're seeing this rather fiscally hawkish approach. And it's a strange dynamic that many of the fiscal conservatives in his own party are going to be outraged by tax rises, but he's going to argue that they're necessary from a different right-wing perspective.
And finally, James, in other news, Shamima Begum will not be in the UK when her case is heard about coming back here. What's going on there and what do you make of it?
So the Supreme Court has essentially backed the government's decision to block Shamima Begum from coming back to the country on national security grounds. Personally, I don't think Shamima Begum should ever have been stripped of her citizenship in the first place. She is a British citizen and we should want to bring her back to this country and try her. I think as a country, she is our responsibility and we should wish for our judicial system to deal with her, to put her on trial for what she is alleged to have done.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening.